Shanti, 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 peace. Good evening. Greetings. It is good to be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. Last Sunday we were discussing the telephone calls I received in reference to voting. People call me with strange questions. Do Yanni's vote? Should I vote for my Yanni? And my answer was usually the same to everybody, which was, as long as you ask the question, you should vote. As long as you're inquiring if you should or you shouldn't, then you're part of the system and you should. After the election, I continue receiving phone calls. One person asked me an interesting question. He called from Düsseldorf, Germany. Is such a place as Düsseldorf?
Düsseldorf.
I asked him where he got my phone number. He said, Ramana Ashram. I didn't realize I had my phone number. But anyway, he asked me a pretty intelligent question to an extent. He said, Robert, if everything is a dream, why should we vote or do anything if it's all a dream? We'll discuss this tonight. We see that life is a dream, everything is a dream, the world is unreal. Why should you do anything? The reason, of course, is you are involved in the dream. You are part of the dream. As long as you are part of the dream, you have to do whatever has to be done in this world of the dream. For you believe you are the body, the mind. Therefore, you can't fool yourself and imagine that you're somewhere else when you're not. You come under the law of cause and effect. You come under the laws of karma. As long as you believe in this world, there's karma for you. There's cause and effect. You can't say in one breath, if there's no karma and no cause and effect, and then react to the world. You know whether or not you believe the world is real by the way you react to it, consistently, constantly, how the world makes you feel. This shows you whether you believe the world is real or not. When you think of your body all the time, when you respond to the world all the time, then you must do the things of this world. Remember the cliche, do unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and do unto God that which is God. where do you belong? In the world or in heaven? You can tell by the way you react to life. By the way the world makes you feel. By the way you respond to your body. Yeah, it's all a dream, but you're caught up in the dream. As an example, when you go to sleep and you're having a dream, you dream that thieves break into your home and shoot all of your family. Then you wake up. When you wake up, you go looking for people who shoot your family. It was a dream and you laugh. But you forget you're living in another dream, which is this world, which is a mortal dream. Do that connect both worlds? They're both two different states of consciousness. They're two different dreams. Yet when you're in your dream world, dreaming, and you go to sleep at night, you're doing all sorts of things in that dream, aren't you? You're acting and reacting and doing all kinds of things in that dream. Do you ever in a dream say, this is a dream? I'm not going to react to this world? You don't, you continue doing things in your dream. That's how it is in this world also. Most of us are stuck in a dream world. We're stuck in a dream world because it presses down on us. And it appears so real, things are happening every day. Yet, one day you will awaken. It's the same as awakening from your dream at night. There's no difference. When you awaken to the dream at night, do you have any interest in the dream? You may for a while. If you're into dreams, you may try to decipher what the dream means for a little bit. But after a while, you forget all about the dream. So it is with this world. When a person awakens, when a person becomes liberated, they are able to see the dream, but they know they're not part of it. They're able to observe everything. But then it's part of the dream. The world no longer has any power over them. Over the awakened person, the liberated person. The world has no power whatsoever over you. Unless you're liberated. This is the way you should think of it. Just as the dream that you were dreaming at night, you awaken and feel all about it. So when you awaken here, you feel all about this world also. Yet you're in the body, so it appears. As long as you're in the body, you will see other bodies. You will see the world as everybody else sees the world. But you're 100% sure that this is another world of reality. You know this. continue functioning in this world, but yet you're not doing anything. To the yoni, there is no action being taken whatsoever. To the ayani, there is action being taken. And the ayani is the yoni taking action also. But is the yoni, nothing is happening, nothing is going on. There's no world. There's no dream. There's no karma. There's no cause and effect. When I tell you that cause and effect and karma does not exist, you have to be real careful with yourself. Do not take this as a license to do anything you like. Remember again, I remind you again and again and again. As long as you're involved in this world and you believe the world to be real, then karma is also real. It's as real as the world. As real as your body. As you sow, so shall you reap. You have to deal with this. What you do to others, you're doing to yourself. You hurt someone, you hurt yourself. You love someone, you love yourself. It's nice for me to come here and tell you that everything is absolute reality. Everything is nirvana, satchitananda, pure awareness, pure intelligence. This is the ultimate truth. But how many of us are living from this standpoint? We have to work from where we are. The worst thing you can do is to fool yourself. And maybe believe you can get away with something. In this world, you can't get away with anything. The Lord of Karma is always watching. You always get back what you put out. Nothing more, nothing less. This is what I mean when I tell you everything is in the right place. Unfolding the way it should. All is well. There's absolutely nothing to be concerned about. But if you go around making a fool of yourself by causing problems to other people, having all kinds of attitudes, anger, jealousy, fear, whatever. These are emotions that you play out in the karmic world. And the karmic world has to return to you what you put out. So this is a dream world. Yes, it's all a dream. You are the dreamer. But you haven't discovered this for yourself. This is a very important point to remember. You have to awaken to become free. You can't imagine that you're free because you hear Advaita Vedanta lectures. (Clears throat) You can't imagine that you're free if you feel yourself suffering somehow. If you feel hurt, or frustrated, disillusioned, or depressed, how can you possibly be free? When you are free, you have unalloyed happiness all the time. Eternal happiness and eternal joy is always with you, regardless of conditions. For you are no longer conditioned. You're no longer looking for anything. Does it make sense for an enlightened person to look for a healthy body? Or for a prosperous body? Or for this or for that? Of course not. Due to the fact that nobody left to look for these things. The ego, who does this, has been totally transcended. Look at the world like bubbles on the ocean. Bubbles and waves on the ocean. Look at people that way too. They keep disappearing, and they keep coming back. The bubbles, the eddies, the waves come and go continuously, constantly. Yet the ocean understands that the bubbles, the eddies, the waves are part of the ocean. They're not separate from the ocean. The bubbles come and go. The waves come and go. So it is with us. Bodies come and go continuously, constantly. We make such a fuss out of life. Out of the bodies that are so important. They come and go like bubbles in the ocean. New bodies appear every day. Old ones fade away. Yet the source, beyond everything, is consciousness. The substratum of all existence is consciousness. Consciousness is like the ocean. And all the forms on this earth and the universe are superimpositions on consciousness. In other words, all the forms are like bubbles and waves on the ocean. When you discover who you are, you're no longer a bubble or a wave, you no longer come and go. You become the ocean. The average person in this world believes they are a bubble or a wave. They identify only with their little self. They're always thinking about themselves. I need, I want, I hurt, I this, I that, I everything. It's always I. This is how the bubble thinks. That's separate from the ocean. But the ocean knows it's not separate. And so the infinite lies waiting in sweet repose for you to understand who you are. In other words, the ocean consciousness is not going to do anything to make you understand who you are. Well, consciousness is already yourself. But somehow you've been hypnotized, mesmerized, deluded, and to believe that you're a separate entity, a separate body, and you have to fudge for yourself, care for yourself. While the bubble persists, it is well taken care of by the ocean. While the wave persists, the ocean looks after it. That's why the waves become big sometimes, they become tidal waves. They're still part of the ocean. As you persist in believing that you're human, believing that you are a body, that you're separate, you are still looked after and protected. You may still suffer and go through experiences because you think you're the body or the mind, but nevertheless, you're always protected and looked after. In other cases, you don't have to worry. In other cases, you don't have to fear. Why? Because you live in eternity. You live in bliss. You live in total joy and happiness. You are immersed in consciousness. Like space. Space is immersed in consciousness. And all the forms like planets, galaxies, universes are superimpositions in space. But we hold space together, consciousness. You don't have to do anything to understand this. You simply have to recognize it. You don't have to pray or meditate or do mantras or japa. There's nothing you have to do to recognize your reality, that you're the ocean, that you're consciousness. You simply have to see it and recognize it and awaken. That's all you have to do. Why is it so hard for most people? Because you've been attached totally, solidly to Maya. To ignorance, to the belief in two powers, belief in separation. You feel in your ego that you're separate from the self, you're separate from your source. This is the only reason that you suffer. If you knew who you were, it would be virtually impossible for you to suffer in any way. But this is where it becomes paradoxical. For again, you may appear to be going through some experiences, yet the enlightened one knows they're not going through anything. This is why when the disciples saw Jesus hanging on the cross, they thought he was suffering. But Jesus the Christ never suffered. Yet Jesus the man appeared to be suffering, but all of his disciples, by the Roman gods, were seeing two different worlds. We're seeing the world of the Yani, or the world of the sage, or the world of the enlightened one. There is pure bliss, absolute reality, pure awareness, pure intelligence. I am that I am, ultimate reality. This is the world of the sage. This is all the time. And nothing has ever happened to the sage. Nothing can ever happen to the sage. Due to the fact that sage become eternity. The sage is omnipresent, all pervading. Yet when the average person looks at the Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, and others who seem to have died horrible deaths from cancer or whatever, they say and they cry, why does this person have to suffer so much? They were so good. They were so kind. I can't understand this. If there's any universal justice, why would this person have to suffer? Who sees the suffering? Only the deluded one. The one who's deluded. The ignorant one. They see through the senses. They see through the eyes, hears through the ears, speaks through the mouth, tastes the agony, smell the red blood, whatever's going on. The senses are given to you as a human being. Because you believe you're human, you have senses to make you human. But we know now you can transcend those senses totally and completely. And be in another world completely and totally. You can transcend the senses and be totally free of them, totally, absolutely. And be in a completely different world. And so there's a body appears to be going through experiences, but only to the person who sees through the senses. So we get back to the dream world. In the dream world, when you go to sleep at night, you go through many, many experiences, do many things. You may appear to be killed. You may appear to become a king or a queen. You may appear to have many children, beautiful home. Or you may appear to be unemployed, a homeless person. Yet when you awaken from that dream, you laugh to yourself and say, wow, thank God it was only a dream. And you forget about it. This mortal dream world that you're in right now, you must also forget about. And then identify with it. This is the way you become free. This is the way you awaken. This doesn't mean that you will do nothing. It means you will do whatever you're supposed to do. But in your mind, you will be doing absolutely nothing. You have to ask yourself the question, do I really want to become free and liberated in this life? Think how many more years you've got left. You never know, you may be called away tomorrow, this very minute, in a year, in a month, 10 years, a week, who knows? Therefore, you should continuously be thinking of these things we're talking about tonight. They should be first in your life. What you give your energy to, you become. What you believe in, you become. What you think about most of the time, you become. That's an important one. What you think about most of the time. Most of us are continuously thinking somebody's trying to hurt us, somebody doesn't like us, somebody's mean to us, something is wrong someplace. As long as you think this way, you are telling the Lord of Karma, this is what I really want. In other words, you're inadvertently bringing doom and gloom upon yourself. Well, if you think doom and gloom all day long, you attract more of the same continuously, constantly. You therefore should understand this and begin to let go of all of your emotions. One of the best ways to let go of your emotions is by practicing self-inquiry. I know some of you got tired of practicing this. Some of you believe nothing is happening. But all the same, make it a habit. Think of the many habits you have now. Destructive habits. Habits that do not help you whatsoever in your unfoldment to the self. But yet you do these things without thinking. These destructive habits. Develop a good habit. Like practicing self-inquiry. Do not look for results. Do not look for anything to happen. Just do it. Ask yourself, who feels depressed? Who feels human? Who feels there's something wrong someplace? Who feels disillusioned? To whom do the feelings come? And of course you answer, I do. I am feeling all of these things. As soon as you say this to yourself, realize that the I is separate from you. The I who feels all this is not you. For if the I were you, you wouldn't use it all the time like you do. You wouldn't say, I am this and I am that. This shows you there's an I and there's you. You're saying, I am this. I am that. I I feel sick, I feel discouraged, I feel depressed. If you're really talking about your real self, you wouldn't say that. But if you're talking about your body, you wouldn't even say that. Or if you were talking about your body, you would say sick, depressed, unhappy. You wouldn't say I. This shows you that you're not referring to your body when you say I. What appears to be your body is just an inanimate piece of flesh. You're a piece of meat. That's all you are. Yet when consciousness goes through it, it becomes animated. It begins to dance, it begins to jump, it begins to do all kinds of things. But of itself, it can do nothing. What I'm getting at is this. How can the body that's really a piece of flesh by itself become sick or depressed or discouraged and have any problem? It cannot. You give life to these things by saying, I feel this. When you add I to the body or to the piece of flesh, that becomes alive also in a negative way. But when you begin to understand that I is not you, I has never been you. This is the beginning of wisdom. When you just understand this continuously and keep carrying it through day after day after day after day, keep reminding yourself constantly, I is not me. Of course, I'm not anybody here saying that. I'll call the man with the white coats, take you away. The happy farm. Realize to yourself, I is not me. I is something by itself. Something that doesn't exist. Some form of hypnosis, some delusion. Kind of optical illusion that makes me believe I am I. When you get that far, you can further inquire, then where did this I come from? If the I is not me, why do I keep saying I, referring to myself? Where did this I come from? What is the source of the I? Everything has a source. Just by thinking this way, you're thinking about God. People always ask me, how should I think about God? You always tell us, Robert, to concentrate on God and forget about the world. How should I think about God? Just how you think about God. By realizing the source is not I. Who am I? If I is not the source, then what is the source of I? That's all you have to say. Don't go any further. That's when you become still. And allow the power that knows the way to work through you. As you become still, the mind will begin to think again. And you go through the same procedure again and again and again. To whom these feelings and thoughts come, they come to me, I feel these things. I feel funny, I feel depressed, I feel bad. Well, what is the source of this I? Where did it come from? And again, keep still. This is a simple practice of self-inquiry. It will become a habit if you keep doing it. So don't think that nothing is happening. Something is happening to you when you do this even for the first time. But it's very subtle. Forget about time. Forget about yourself. Become universal. Realize that your body is the body of the universe. All things emanate out of your mind. All universe emanates out of your mind. Think of these things every day. Be aware of these things every day. Catch yourself. Day after day after day, catch yourself. And think along the lines we've discussed tonight. When you can do this, something will happen to you, something wonderful, I can assure you of this. A benevolent power will take over and bring you to your true home, which is absolute reality and total happiness. Peace.
I have a question. You said that I am a dreamer. Would it not be equally true to say I am the dreamed?
Say any way you like. Think of it as what you say, what you say, it's what you feel it is, what you think it is. As long as you know that you're being dreamed by a dreamer.
The dreamer and the dreamed are one.
The dreamer and the dreamer are one. The dream is coming out of you. It comes out of the dreamer. Where else would it come from? You are creating the whole dream. And in your waking state, you're creating the whole universe.
Yes, as you say, everything in duality is a creation of my mind, and the mind itself is unreal. That makes everything unreal.
Exactly.
However, to try to live in that, on that plane, while I'm in the body, is to court disaster. For instance, Tota Puri tried to, he thought he was living on that plane of non-duality while in the body. And what happened to him is possessed.
This is what I was referring to. We mustn't kill ourselves. We mustn't fool ourselves. we must continuously work on ourselves. And the same time, act as if karma exists, the world exists, because we're in the world, we're part of this world.
Even for the yoni.
For the yoni, there's no world, there's no existence.
Why would you say Chodapuri was not a yoni?
I don't know if Chodapuri was a yoni or not.
I don't either.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Sometimes when I keep silent, I have background noise in my head, like things that have happened throughout the day, and just a bunch of different noises that I have absolutely no control over. Is there any way you could explain any of that to me?
Well, apparently you're picking up all the stuff that you've been doing all day long, and especially in your mind. And you're hearing all the noises from this. What you have to do is to inquire, to whom does this come? Inquire, who feels this? Where does it come from? Where is its source?
But I find that that's what I have, like, after the, after I've taken control over my mind. It's just the stuff that's like scattering around.
Because you haven't taken control of your mind. If you really took control of your mind, you wouldn't have that. The mind is a very powerful instrument, it appears, to some people. And will do anything to save itself from being annihilated, destroyed.
When everything else is quiet in the mind, even a song that I heard throughout the day, I just continuously just keep going and going and going.
Of course. This is what the mind does. That's why we have a mind. To remember things, to pick up things. This is true of everybody, not only you. And therefore, you must entirely, thoughtfully always keep asking yourself, to whom does this come? Who hears this? And I say, I do. And I inquire, what is the source of the I? If you keep doing this regularly, you'll find the noises vanish. You'll become still and quiet. Another way to do this is just observe the sounds. Watch the sounds, watch the mind work. But not react to it. Just observe it and watch it. Have no reaction whatsoever. And it will finally stop.
That seems really tricky because it seems in a sense like it's faded, but I don't know, it's weird. It's acting like it's okay that little part is still like noisy. Because it's like, because I can't react to it because it's so minute. It's like, you can barely hear it, but it's still scattered everywhere.
It's still the mind playing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a difference if it's loud or faint. The message is always the same. To whom is this gone? Who's feeling this? Who's hearing this? Who's being annoyed by this? I am. Well, who is this I? Where did I come from? And trace the I back to the source, from the heart. And you will find it stops. And again, observe the mind. Watch the mind. Watch those sounds. Do nothing at all to stop them. Just watch them. Just by watching, they'll become weaker and weaker and weaker. Until they disappear in their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
just to not accept them. Use one of these methods. And it has to stop. Would you read the end of that?
Yes. For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him, till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things. The original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe
I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, ma'am. Do you have any announcements?
No, I don't.
We're going to have a couple of bandaras, parties, feasts. One is Thanksgiving, if it's okay with Henry, which is the 29th, Sunday. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. It will be 3 days after. And also on December 27th. December 30th is Ramana Maharshi's birthday. So we'll have a combination of celebration of Christmas and Ramana Maharshi's birthday. So if someone would like to be in charge of this, let me know. Let Mary know. Let Lee know. Let somebody know.
Let God know. God knows.
We'll have music, festivities. Everybody bring a dish. Any comments?
Sounds good.
Anybody have anything to say?
Did you want to make a paper stating who's going to bring what, so everybody doesn't bring the same thing? We can do that.
We need a coordinator.
Oh no, I'm not that.
That's
we
you.
Could leave the paper at the table and people could just sign in what they would like to bring. And then other people can see what they're bringing and they won't bring the same thing then.
We need somebody to take charge.
No, you take charge.
Think about it.
You do it with more subtlety and savoir faire than anyone else.
Dana's pretty good there. Well,
yes, that's true.
Well, maybe we can all.
Why don't you two do it together?
Thanks, Henry.
Well, you don't have to, but Mary has to.
I think you should join that.
Yeah.
No, this is Mary's obvious gift.
Anybody who wants to help, I'll appreciate it.
You might talk Dana into it.
It'll turn out all right. Mm. I know.
So keep that thing open. You can bring a friend, your wife, somebody else's wife, your husband, a homeless person. Oh, well, it's not for prasad. We have heaven sent cookies.
No kidding. In the Fred, yeah.
The Fred would open it.
And we have baked pecan cookies. Nine cookies of the frequent quiz.